each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody and welcome. Hi, Tony. How are you doing?
Father.
Christina is here or not
She's
here?
She's under the weather.
She's under the weather.
Yeah.
So a little prayer for her. She'll be back.
Yeah.
Maybe sooner than later. I'm trying to think. Tomorrow's Friday.
Tomorrow's Friday, yeah.
We're in one of these waves of funerals, you know. So I had one Friday, yesterday, today, tomorrow, Saturday. It's just, they come in waves.
Yeah, isn't it?
So, yeah. But anyway.
People don't
so I lose
it.
Track of sense of where I'm at, you know, what day it is and...
You're not the only one.
Moving from one thing to the next. Everybody seems to be feeling the same way anyway.
Yeah.
So anyway, let's begin with prayer. And we'll just move from there and see where we're going to go. As I said, I've just come from a funeral. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ our Lord. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world, for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. O most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of Mercy, at this most critical time we entrust the United States and in fact the whole world to your loving care. Most Holy Mother, we beg you to reclaim this land for the glory of your Son. Overwhelmed with the burden of the sins of our nation, we cry to you from the depths of our hearts and seek refuge in your motherly protection. Look down with mercy upon us and touch the hearts of our people. Open our minds to the great worth of human life and to the responsibilities that accompany human freedom. Free us from the falsehoods that lead to the evil of abortion and threaten the sanctity of family life. Grant our country the wisdom to proclaim that God's law is the foundation on which this nation was founded, and that he alone is the true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. O merciful Mother, give us the courage to reject the culture of death and the strength to build a new culture of life. Trusting in your most powerful intercession, we pray. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To thee do we come. Before thee we stand sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer us. O Mary conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Michael the Archangel,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. All right. Boy, can you tell in my voice, we were just talking before the show started about conserving energy.
Yeah.
Because I'm running from one thing to the next. As I seem to always say, you know, but it's a way to kind of redeem myself if I'm coming across as like I'm here, but I'm not here. That's kind of how I feel. But anyway.
It's going around.
Yeah, well, and we're right up against the holidays. Can you believe that?
Yeah, it's
Thanksgiving's a week away today.
I said that at the beginning of this month. I said, oh, gosh, okay, it's November already. It's going to be Thanksgiving pretty soon.
Yeah, and it's too fast.
Blink of an eye.
Unreal. Anyway, I want to go. Let's just go back to Sunday, to the readings. You know, Armin, thank you. What can you do? Because I can barely hear myself, actually. So, okay, there you go. Thank you. All right.
Very good. The wizard.
The wizard. Wizard comes from behind the curtain, you know?
Yes.
So, anyway, I want to go back to the readings this past Sunday. Mm-hmm. First of all, you know, just some questions, you know, and we all have to ask ourselves. Do we know or do we really believe that on the day of our death, an assessment of our lives and a personal judgment will be rendered by Almighty God, will be judged worthy or unworthy of a share in the kingdom of Christ? So when Jesus comes at the end of all things, a final judgment will be rendered with a definitive separation between those who responded to God's grace and those who refused his grace. This judgment will take place. And this was really what was being related in the parable of the wise and the foolish virgins. You notice the readings during this month, because by tradition, called this a month of the dead, mm-hmm. November, because we began with the Feast of All Saints, and then November 2nd was a commemoration of the faithful departed, and then it all culminates in the Jesus coming, the feast of the solemnity of Jesus Christ, King of the universe. And then we go right into Advent, which is again we're back in the same kind of a theme. It's one of vigilance. We got to be vigilant. And so it's important to. Well, like, as I just said, I just had a funeral yesterday. I had a funeral today. I had one last Friday. I've got another one coming up on Saturday. And they kind of come in waves, but they do come, and they always will. That's a given. It's always going to be. And as I always tell the people, you know, in 100 years, the planet, if it's still here, will be repopulated. Our days are numbered. Every day we live is a day closer to our passing over from this life to the next, to where? That's the question, right?
Mm-hmm.
It all depends on how we live our lives in the here and now. God gives the grace. He's laid out the blueprint. We've been created, redeemed. The Lord wants to sanctify us, which means, you know, that we become saints, because only saints will be received into heaven. So we know, you know, on the way, in the journey, that we miss a mark. We seemingly, I don't know, what do you think, that we kind of shy away from any thought of a personal and final judgment. I wonder how much thought people really give to that.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Reality.
It's funny, I was just talking to a friend of mine at work, and he was talking about different beliefs people have. And I just dawned on me, it's amazing what people believe, you know. And I can't really go into the things I was told, but it's just that we tend to believe these weird things sometimes.
An example.
Yeah,
Can you give me an example?
I don't want to. A perfect example, and I think of. The name escapes me right now. When you think, let's say, for instance, I know there are people that say, "Oh, well, me and God, we have this thing, you know, I sin and I tell Him I'm sorry and I move on, and He forgives me." And my next question then is, "Okay, well, do you not do that sin anymore?" No, they do. They do the same. It's almost like, "God, I'm sorry, forgive me, but I'm still going to go ahead and do this."
But at least there's repentance.
Yeah,
you know?
And that's the thing. That's the thing people don't really, that's what I mean. When you talk to somebody about this, the example I gave and the feeling I had was that we tend to think, "Oh, well, God loves us and He'll always forgive us," and that's true, but then we can't just. I think it's the nature of men to sin. I mean, it's from the very
right.
beginning.
Yeah.
But how does one then go through life? It's one thing if you think, you know, you're forever gonna be forgiven, but then you don't, like, okay. Let's take an example of stealing. You know, one steals for different reasons, but then when you realize that this is something we should not be doing, you have to stop.
Okay, it's a very interesting point there, because number one, Jesus said, "I've come not for the healthy, but for the sick,
sick.
Not for the saint, but for the for the sinners," right? Mm-hmm. And you know, and He did say, the Lord said, you know. The Bible says that the just man sins seven times a day. That's the just man, the holy man. When Peter said, "Lord, how many times a day shall I forgive my brother?" Seven times a day, thinking he's answering in a biblical sense correctly. And Jesus says, "No, not seven times, but 70 times a day." We just had one of the readings just within the last week where you if your brother asks you to forgive him seven times a day, you forgive him seven times a day. So I'm going to say a couple of things. Thinking in terms of the personal and final judgment
right.
at the end of all things, And I'd ask a question, do we even think about that? Is that even in our mind? On one hand, it may frighten some people. Mm-hmm. And I think you're kind of alluding to this idea that we foolishly convince ourselves that we can do as we please with no adverse consequences regarding our behavior in the here and the now of our lifelong journey.
See, I think it's an interesting question you ask, because I believe, and I think about this even when I go to confession, I generally am sorry for my sins, and I try so hard not to sin again. But, and I think there are people that think, okay,
that's a whole different reality, because if you've got a sensitivity to sin,
and I think the sensitivity,
and you're trying, but exactly. People, so, unfortunately, what happens is we have these bad habits or vices, I guess, that have to be overcome. You know, we need to take mastery over our own lives with the help of God's grace.
Right.
Very difficult for many people.
And I also think that, too, when you say saints, and I'm glad you say that, because it tells me two things about myself. I'm so far from that. But it also tells me it's something to look forward to. I want to be a saint. Mm-hmm. We should all want to be saints.
We should.
And I think of people, and it's weird.
What's the alternative?
Right, exactly. But you know, that's the thing. I think that's where I think about people, how, okay, we ourselves started this conversation today. Well, we're going from one thing to another. And I think you got to stop. And I think it's probably one of the reasons why adoration for me is so, or silence for me is so focus. You know, this is where you focus. This is where you try to say, oh, okay, well, these are the things that are important, not all the things that we have to do during life, which, you know, life is a work. So,
and we're going to take a break here in a second, but which is very interesting, because I'm thinking, and that's, you know, people often they think, why is this, you know, when you think of sin, people think automatically sins of the flesh.
Yeah.
You know, but you mentioned, because we were talking about this before, but workaholism.
Yeah.
One can be a workaholic, you know, you keep going. You got to pull Armin's pointing himself, and I'm pointing to myself, I think. And you've really got to pull back. And it's you know, the other thing is an unhealthy, one burdens oneself with an unhealthy sense of guilt over things that, you know,
you can't do.
Because you can't be all things to all people.
Exactly.
And do all things all the time. But so there is a certain sinful, or it's part of the disorder that is kind of part of the life. But let me just say this, and we'll come back to this, because so that death will come is a given. We know that. And nobody can deny this reality. We'd be foolish to dismiss judgment as old school thinking and no longer applicable to our progressive sensibilities.
Right.
And I think that's what where there's a certain danger, this kind of progressive sensibilities that God is love and I can do whatever I want, and this permissiveness on the part of God. We'll come back and we'll address that. We've talked about this before, but it is a prevailing attitude today that is, I think, quite dangerous, because it does have an adverse effect on life as it's lived in the here and now of our reality. And because sin does add to disorder, it diminishes, it divides, it adds to the disorder. And so we really have to look to that high standard and really strive down that narrow path in the discipline toward holiness of life, because that high standard is sanctification. It's to be saints. And so anyway, we'll take a break. We'll be right back. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Sometimes it's tough to hear Winds of Change over the air, what with tall buildings, power lines, and other static. Now you can hear Winds of Change anywhere, anytime, or on any device. When Winds of Change is on the air, live, Monday through Friday, noon to 1, go to ststandschurch.org. Scroll down to the Winds of Change tile and click on the Listen Live button. For Winds of Change podcasts, click on Listen to Episodes.
I'm Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and you are listening to
the Winds of Change. Winds of Change has an immediate part-time opening for producer board operator. The duties include running the Winds of Change program, assembling the best of programs, working with a host radio station and program hosts, writing the day's program summary for web posting, plus uploading a copy of the day's program to our podcast app. This position would be a worthy opportunity if you're retired and where you can make a difference. The Winds of Change studio is located at 1351 West Evergreen Avenue, Chicago, at the historic St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish. Work hours are middays, Monday through Friday. Email a letter telling us about yourself to adcmedia@hotmail.com. adcmedia@hotmail.com.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Father Anthony. Thanks for listening to us. Stay with us, okay? Even though we may be on a, I just feel like I'm on no energy, right? Yeah,
but it's life. This is what it's really about.
I mean, really. I tell you, we'll rest when we rest in God, right?
Yeah.
But we do need to. We need to create that space. That's why God gave us a Sabbath, you know, so that to ensure that we have in the work of life a little bit of a respite. But going back to this. So we know that God's greatest attribute is mercy, and his love is incomprehensible. But God is not permissive, and this is the attitude that we have to work against this prevailing attitude, it seems to be, certainly in our day and time. So he speaks of himself as a demanding God and holds each of us, to a high standard. For this reason, you know, we cannot let a day go by and not pray, for instance, the Jesus prayer. Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a poor sinner, which also raises a question. Do we even acknowledge the fact that we are sinners? Can we say, you know, people often say, well, I'm a good person, right? Mm-hmm. You know, so, but, you know, to acknowledge that we are sinners comes from a posture of humility. It's the antithesis of pride. Humility is what makes saints. But if you remember the gospel where you get the Pharisee and the tax collector, right? And in the gospel, and Jesus speaks of the Pharisee who says, "Oh God, you know, I thank you that I'm not like the that poor tax collector over there. I keep the commandments, I pay the tithe, I go to the temple, to the synagogue," and he's, you know, expounding on his attributes and all this. And the tax collector, on the other hand, is it seems like we just talked about this,
yeah,
didn't it?
Yeah, but it's good to hear again. Yeah.
He's bowed down, beating his breast, and saying, "Lord, have mercy on me, a poor sinner." That's where we get the Jesus prayer, mm-hmm. What's popularly called the Jesus prayer. Which is a prayer that if you take away the Pilgrim, a little book I read, very popular from Eastern, the Eastern Rite of the Church, from the Slavic nations. It's how to learn to pray unceasingly, constantly, because the Lord says, you know, pray, go into your inner chamber, shut the door, and pray constantly. St. Paul says, pray unceasingly. And in the Slavic nations, in the Eastern Rite, that, you know, the Jesus prayers, the prayer that I learned that. This is where I learned the ability to pray unceasingly, because really it does. It was the Jesus prayer, the way the Pilgrim. I took it from the little book. Jesus Christ, Son of the Living God, have mercy on me, a poor sinner. And to pray that over and over and over and over again, let it mill over your heart, and actually, with the chaplet on the Divine Mercy, Jesus, mercy, I trust in you, for the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. But in all these prayers, you think about it. So you take the Jesus prayer, and you pray that, and you pray it constantly. And I understand, you know, why the Divine Mercy Chaplet was given to us through St. Maria Faustina Kowalska from Jesus. The whole chaplet is really acknowledging our sinfulness and asking God's mercy for the sake of His sorrowful passion, Jesus Christ, His passion, because it's a prayer directed to the Father. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and the blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. And then for the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. So that chaplet is, again, this kind of unceasing, repetitive prayer in a good sense, whereby we acknowledge before the Father that we are fallen, we are sinful, and we acknowledge the gift of our redemption, that God so loved the world He sent His only begotten Son, not to condemn but to save. And in a time when fewer and fewer people seem to acknowledge that that great gift, we stand in the name of all humanity and in our own name to acknowledge before the Father that, yes, you know, have mercy on it. We acknowledge the gift that was given through the sending of your Son. We acknowledge that, and we do so in the name of all humanity. The chaplet is a prayer of gratitude as well.
It's when you really understand that. That's, for me, why it's become so special for me. And I wonder, just like if somebody would tell me, oh, don't emphasize the I'm a sinner. Let's not emphasize that we're sinners. You know, I hear that devilish take us away from what is really at the heart. That's what anybody, when you start to understand these things, you can see how you can be taken away from that prayer. You can see how the meaning could be.
Yeah, desensitize.
Yeah.
So if you know God, if we stand in the light, God is light.
Yeah.
And we stand in that light, we see ourselves, and we know, and we're aware of our defects, our rough edges, our sinfulness, and so that brings us to, again, humbly acknowledge that we are sinners, but we're in that quest, we're in that search. We want to open ourselves to the grace that purges and transforms and sanctifies, but it's predicated on the fact that we acknowledge that we are sinners, that we're in need of salvific grace. But so you've got the chaplet of the Divine Mercy, then you've got, you know, even the prayer of Jesus, right? Whether I mentioned the Jesus prayer, but the prayer that Jesus gave us, the only prayer it's the only prayer in the gospel that he actually gave us, a formula prayer, when his disciples said, you know, please teach us to pray as John the Baptist teaches his disciples. And that's when Jesus gave the Our Father, or the Lord's Prayer, the seven petitions. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Those first three in reference to God. Give us this day our daily bread in reference to the Eucharist, and also trust that he will provide for nourishment of the body. And then forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil. The only petition he repeats after he gives a prayer is the one to forgive. Unless you forgive, you will not be received into heaven. So, you know, before you take the speck out of your brother's eye, take the plank out of your own. You know, we're sinners, and we have to forgive as we've been forgiven. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. We, in all humility, acknowledge we are sinners. So that's the Lord's Prayer. And then the Ave Maria, the Hail Mary, ends always, Holy Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. So this acknowledging our sinfulness. And of course, certainly the Mass, which in and of itself is a, what are the four purposes of the Mass? But to adore God, to thank God, offer prayers of supplication, and to seek forgiveness. Forgiving grace that comes from our participating in the Mass. And we begin the Mass acknowledging that we are sinners. Lord, have mercy on us.
We also say that the Lord's Prayer in there.
You get there too.
And before
communion, Lord, I'm not worthy that you come under my roof. Say but only the word, and my soul shall be healed. It seems to me, you know, that the, you know, as we're talking, that even again, this aside from the what is central, which is the holy sacrifice, is this idea that the perpetuation of the Messianic hour is what happens in the offering of the Mass to bring us into communion with God, and it's a perpetuation of the whole Paschal mystery, but the suffering, death, and resurrection, but entering into that sacrifice that Jesus made in order to redeem us, and it from the cross. So we're at Calvary, and we hear then in a perpetual way the words of Jesus from the cross: "Forgive them, they know not what they do." But he's redeeming us from our slavery to sin and death, taking the sting out of death in his resurrection. But again, isn't this kind of the antithesis of an attitude today that is that views God as permissive? It's one thing to go back to what you were saying a little bit earlier. Yeah, at least, you know, there's repentance. You know, if I repent daily, we're sinful people. The idea is, well, you know, you diminish me when you say that. No, it's not at all. It's because we've seen God, and we realize our own need for purgation, transformation, sanctification, so that we give genuine, authentic witness to God's kingdom in our midst. But in any case, in view of our sinfulness, shouldn't we recognize the necessity of praying these prayers unceasingly? Which we do if we're praying the prayers of the church, right?
Right.
And this humility would make us like the wise virgins in the parable, whose lamps burn with the oil of the Holy Spirit in anticipation of the bridegroom's coming. So every Mass, every Holy Mass offered is an expression of the Church's vigilance, perpetuating the cry of Jesus to the Father as he atones for our sins, "Father, forgive them," and that we've been redeemed from our sins and destined to share in the heavenly banquet. All this is predicated on our response to the gift offered us. So we have to respond to that gift that's being offered us. And our attention to God and all things sacred is an expression of gratitude for what has been done for us in the redeeming suffering and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we can't make our way through life presuming, and this is, I think, the point you were trying to make in the beginning, is this presumption on the part of many. If people even have a sensitivity to God, that's the thing. You know, do we even acknowledge God? We can't make our way through life presuming. It doesn't matter whether or not we keep vigil in our search for God or whether or not we live according to his commandments. Sacred Scripture, the magisterial teachings of the Church, the very Creed, even in the Creed, you know, during the Mass, in the Creed, we recite, we're reminded Jesus will come to judge the living and the dead. And of course, the Lord gave us the sacrament of reconciliation for the forgiveness of grave sins that separate us from God. That's the sacrament restores us to a state of grace and sets us on a trajectory toward heaven. It brings us back to communion with God so that when we go to Mass, we can receive communion because we're going to renew our covenant, our fiat, renew the covenant, our yes to the covenant that we're in relationship with God. We offer our lives a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, our spiritual worship, which brings us into communion. But we have to be serious about overcoming, or at least persevering in the struggle, in the battle, to get over ourselves, to overcome sin. But again, thank God, you know, and I've mentioned this many times, when the Lord said, you know, the road is very narrow, it's a difficult path, very few can stay on this path. And Peter said, well, Lord, how can man be saved? And Jesus said, for man it's impossible, but for God all things are possible. Thank God for that, those words of our Lord, because we know that only by the grace of God, and isn't that only by the grace of God go I? Isn't that St. Paul said that, right? So we have this great capacity to do good. We have a great capacity to do evil. Now, those foolish virgins in the parable, they lacked any regard for the bridegroom. I guess that's the what one wonders as you look around in the culture of our day and time, this seeming lack of regard for the bridegroom, who is Jesus, really. And so they chose not to be open. They chose not to open themselves to the grace that would make them ready for his coming. In the least, they were lazy. They were slothful. And the choices they made left them at the door knocking. That's how the gospel ends. Only to hear the voice of the bridegroom say, I do not know you. Basically, I do not know you because you chose not to know me. So in essence, their decision not to prepare for his coming was definitively respected. They sealed their own fate. You know, sister, that whole parable of the wise and foolish virgins is meant to awaken us to keep our eyes open to the day of our departure from this life, a day and an hour unknown to us, but nonetheless a reality that cannot be denied. We're all going to pass this way, pass over from here to there. And when we pass from here to there, there will be a personal judgment, an assessment of what we did or didn't do with the time that was given us. So having said that, we live in one understands why the Chaplet of Divine Mercy was given in our era of history, because people are, quite frankly, innocently lost. We know the law of God is written into our hearts, and so deep down, the truth is there. We know it. But when you've got this tyranny of noise that militates against God and the ways of God, the commandments of God, and really glamorizes permissive living, lack of discipline, very egocentric, very hedonistic, you know, if it feels good, do it, very subjective, not using your head, but just under the control of your feelings, relativism, a truth. Yeah. What is truth?
Yeah.
You know, you do your thing, I do my thing. Who's to judge?
Me.
No judgment. By the way, this is very interesting too, because this idea of judgment, you know, people, well, who am I to judge? And you hear this especially from the young people. Well, you've got to make judgment. We have to make we're making judgments all through the day.
Every day.
A self-righteous judgment would be sinful. But we've got to make judgment in order to know what is right and right, what is proper, what is good. We've got to judge the culture we're living in, the society we're living in. We've got to make judgment. Again, God is not a permissive God. And It's a work of one of the spiritual works of mercy is to call people to correct their faults or their wrong way.
That's not easy.
Well, we have to do it through by way of example, right. First and foremost, by way of example. And maybe that's why, you know, we're reluctant to call people out, because we know that we've, again, before you take the speck out of your brother's eye, take the plank out of your own. But at least there's got to be this sensitivity, and there's got to be this this quest mm-hmm. for God, and this knowing that God is our good beginning, our good end. He's our only stability and constancy in life, closer to us than we are to ourselves. And so what's needed on our part is docility, receptivity, and humility, to be open to the inner working of God's Spirit. And in doing so, we're preparing ourselves for that final encounter with God face-to-face at the end of our lives. But again, the prevailing attitude seems to be, I can do what I want to do, because in the end, and you see it this in when people die today, it's not like there isn't this. Whereas before, you know, have mass is offered for the deceased, and you know, pray for the dead and all that. The church is trying to get away from this idea that, you know, when a person, and I always tell our people this at funerals. I always say this isn't the celebration of this person's life. It's the celebration of God's life, and we're offering a sacred farewell to this person, praying for his soul, his or her soul, that they be granted eternal. What do we say? The church says, what's that? I just said it this morning. How many times did I repeat it? Eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord. Mm-hmm. Let perpetual light shine upon them. Or eternal rest grant unto him, O Lord. Let perpetual light shine upon him. May his soul and the souls of the faithful departed rest in peace. That, by the way, that's also a spiritual work of mercy, mm-hmm. is to pray for the dead. We have an obligation to pray for the dead. We'll take a break and be right back. So don't go away. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change, the name 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, is open 24 hours a day, 7 days per week, for adoration of the Blessed Sacrament in the iconic monstrance. The Blessed Sacrament is reposed during the celebration of Mass and during special events. St. Stan's doors are always open for adoration. Come anytime, day or night. St. Stan's is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, right off the Kennedy. Visit ststanschurch.org.
We are the students of St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. Visit ststanschicago.org to find out how.
And you're listening to the Winds of Change.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is conveniently located 1 block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. I'm trying to get this energy, and I hate this feeling when you just don't have the energy. But again, I'm moving from one thing to the next, and after the show, I'll have a little bit of a break, and then I go into appointments.
For the next thing.
The next thing, yeah.
Next 10 things.
But anyway, but you know, I think really what most frightens me today, even as I look into the future, and I was telling somebody, you know, I think I'm a kind of a melancholy kind of a person, and yeah. Maybe the cup is half full rather than half
empty.
I mean, half empty rather than half full. I'm more of a probably half empty, But I think it's part of, I think it's the realism of it all. Like I just finished my Christmas letter and I had somebody read it and they said, oh, it's a little dark, you know. And I thought, well, I'm telling
them. How can I be light? I mean.
I'm putting it in the current perspective of the reality of what we're dealing with in this world. And you see so much, you hear so much. And we were just talking about this too, right? How I'm at the point now where I tune the news out.
See, I wonder. I mean,
it's bad news.
I think it's human nature, especially to always put a happy face on something. You know why? Well, you know, I'm trying to. Why do I get the doom and gloom? But sometimes, and this is why, and maybe I'm like you in this respect because I don't want the watered down version. I am astute to see what is going around. You know, I get totally turned off when somebody tries to put a happy spin on something.
Yeah, I get that, and that's I feel the same way because I want reality.
Exactly.
I don't want to pretend that, you know,
And I mean, there is some good with always looking, you know, they say always look to the brighter side. There is some truth to that, but I think we're past that stage. I can't put a happy spin on
because there's got to be, we got to awaken to the reality and do something. We got to do something about
now,
what's happening.
Something has to be done now.
Because otherwise,
we can't push it down the road anymore.
So hope, yes, I have hope. I don't lose hope.
Right.
Because I see beyond the here and now of our reality. In other words, I certainly know that we're not going to have heaven on earth.
Nope.
There's never going to be this utopian, you know, to create a utopian, a world where we have paradise on earth. No, it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. It never has. Anytime it's attempted, it ends in
bad way,
extermination. Because you've got to fit the narrative. If you don't, then you're canceled out. The reality is that and that's why I always say we're not condemned to be here forever, because in the lifelong journey, there's this constant, as I say so often, an attack to the mind, the body, the soul, and the spirit. Is there ever a day that goes by when you haven't suffered something? And then you see, so people can look at their own personal lives, then you look at the life of the family, you look at the life of the community, and you just take the reality. And today, you know, in Chicago, the violence.
Yeah.
You know, you hear about it in the morning. I'll exercise in the morning to the news, and it's pretty depressing. You know, I'm at the point now where I don't even like to listen to the news. Political news, I have to say, I completely tuned it out because I just don't have any trust whatsoever. It seems like everything is so crazy. All I know is you mentioned adoration. I can't wait to get to my chapel in the morning and through the day. That's where I conserve energy because I get in the chapel in there. That helps me to put things in perspective.
You can almost stay there. You almost wish, can I stay here for the whole day? But we have to get out to do the work.
Got to be in the work of life.
But you're right. It's that little bit of energy that you can get for yourself to move on to the next 10 things you have to do.
And see, because of the maybe social media, the internet, I truly believe that with television and the cinema and all that, for all the good that's there, it has, and now, you know, it's all right there contained in that little telephone, right? That little
beginning
cell phone.
Beginning to see this.
That there is, again, the tyranny of noise and the inculcation, indoctrination of all kinds of ideologies and ways of behaving that really goes back to the hedonism, relativism, subjectivism, individualism. And I say individualism because while we're made for community to be, again, social media was supposed to bring people together, keep people.
How does it really bring people together?
Well, it doesn't. It isolates and creates loneliness.
Exactly.
And there's so much falsehood that comes by way of that. You know, I'm not on TikTok and all that kind of stuff, or Snapchat.
Yeah.
Some people were telling me about this, and the just the stuff that's there, you know. Okay, are we deviating from the reality? No, because this is all part of the sinfulness that is ever present.
But think about it. These things are now, and I believe also, you know, I don't mean to, all things are given in a good way. It's just what you do with it. Like, you know, I'm not a Facebook guy myself, but look around you. If you're in any kind of business, you have to be, because this is how your business works. It's the networking thing and whatever. But I see Facebook used for good things, but even a good thing can be perverted to a bad thing.
So you're right.
It still takes a...
But what do people value the need for privacy?
What's that?
Yeah, you know, and when I say privacy, I mean, you know, again, going back to adoration, this is the beauty of adoration. You know, when you know you're in the presence of the incarnate God, mystically present, but really present in the Blessed Sacrament, and so it's part of this incarnational and redemptive spirituality that we have, that we're not looking at a dot, but we're actually in the presence of God who remains with us under the hidden guise of the bread and wine. And so our participation in the Holy Eucharist and the Mass are, and the extension of that, which is adoration, which really allows you to, we were just talking about this the other day, I think, you know, like, as Jesus would go into the desert, into the wilderness, to the top of the mountain for privacy, so that he could commune with the Father, so that he could regain energy. He was depleting energy. He was fully human, fully divine, but his humanity put certain limitations on his divinity. And so he would get tired. It would be depleted of energy. When you're dealing with people, you're being depleted of energy, especially when you're dealing with people who are hungering for healing, for wholeness, for some sense of meaning and purpose in life. And I think this is part of what has happened, perhaps, is because we're so, again, the tyranny of noise, which feeds the beast, in a sense. Does this make any sense? In other words, you got all this stuff that's coming at you that caters to what is most base in the human person, that you mentioned, you know, it dumbs us down when God wants to raise us to a place of dignity, nobility, grace. He says, keep the commandments, nurture relationship with God, who created you, who redeemed you, who wants to sanctify you. He's the artist, you're the work of his hands. He created you in his image and likeness, in beauty and goodness. And that's his focus. When he looks upon us, he looks at that, what he created, but very much aware of the rough edges and the sins. And so, you know, we're brought through this a stage of purgation. We're being purged in order to grow into our true selves. So, you know, be rid of all the falsehood. And that's what this social media, all this, there's so much falsehood there.
Yeah.
And, gosh, I feel for the young people. I really feel for the young people who are just lusting after the illusion. The illusion.
And that's something that the silence takes you away from. That's the thing. And it's like, I know that as an older person, I wish I would have known that years ago.
Did I mention that on the radio about our eighth graders? Because, you know, we do adoration. All our kids do adoration.
Yeah.
And I worked it. So I worked out a program for them, because I want them to do a holy hour. It may not be a full hour. It's more like 40, 45 minutes maybe. But I work it out so that they have some prayers. They do the angel prayer, the prayer the angel taught the children before the apparitions of Our Lady at Fatima. My God, I believe, I adore, I hope, I love you, I thank you, and I ask pardon for you, for those who do not believe, and all this. And then, you know, just 5 minutes of silence, A Decade of the Rosary, Pray for the Conversion of Sinners, for Peace in the World, 5 minutes of Silence, One Decade of the Chaplet of the Divine Mercy for the Sick and the Suffering and the Dying, and a few other petitions, and then 5 minutes of Silence, and then the Divine Praises. And the kids, I had asked the students last week, you know, how's the adoration going? And the teacher said, well, we decided we wanted more time in silence. So they took all the prayers and they prayed those prayers at the very beginning, mm-hmm. so that they can have a good block of silence.
Wow.
So that tells you, you know, that they recognize, they value the silence, and it's not an empty silence, because you're in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament. Mm-hmm. So it's a silence that is not empty, but imbued, infused with the very life of God. And this is unique to the Catholic Church, mm-hmm. is that we have, you know, Jesus says, I go to my Father, your Father, there to prepare a place for you, my little flock. Again, we're going back to the death, right? We're going to have to eventually pass from this life into the next. So I go to my Father, your Father, there to prepare a place for you, but I'm not going to leave you orphans. My little flock, he says, I'm not going to leave you orphaned. I will remain with you. I will stay with you, Emmanuel, God with us. And he's with us in the most, through these most sublime mysteries, in the Holy Eucharist, in all the sacraments, in the Word of God, in the teaching, the magisterial teachings of the Church, so that it's all come down to us. Everything that's been the deposit of faith, all that's come down to us, has to be preserved, so that we can have this communion with God, and so it's. But we've got to create the space. We've got to really be very, very intent on creating the space, and that's where. And we're just about out of time here, but again, this is why I emphasize over and over what is central to the Mass is the Holy Sacrifice. The Liturgy of the Word, we're reminded who we are, who God is, what's expected of us. We recommit, renew our fiat, our yes, in the offering of our lives on the altar in union with Christ, through Christ to the Father, in order to have communion, in union with Christ, the Father, in order to have communion, to receive Jesus. He feeds us with his body, his blood, soul, and divinity, that he abide within us, so that we can pray those prayers constantly, knowing that, you know, we've gone into the inner chamber, we shut the door, and your Father, you needn't say anything, but we have to say something, or just be still and know that God is God. But then to bring that, the Mass is extended, or that grace is made present in adoration, where you're in, again, I just say, going into the desert, into the wilderness, to the top of the mountain, there to have communion with God and to recoup energy, to be disposed, receptive, in all humility, to the grace that flows from that sacrament, so that we have the strength to live the life and to fight the good fight. So anyway, all right, thanks for being with us, everybody. God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace. Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Meaningless thought, the shell appears strong, but the inside is wrought. It's time to be stirred, the time.